judgment. I would dare say that everyone in this room has been judgmental against a Christian at some time in their life. And I would dare say that every Christian here can remember words that they said that destroyed the expression and maybe hurt the faith of a Christian. What was the song? Just one word. One word can do so much damage. And Phil, do we know when we said that word? When you just watched the expression on the other person's face. The church, quite amazing. When it's working, the church is an amazing, wonderful thing. When Christians are acting as God intended them to act, people of the world are astounded. There are few places in the world as safe, as wonderful, and as encouraging as the church. Christian friends love one another, forgive one another, help one another, encourage one another, and seek the best for one another. What could be better? What about when the church isn't working as it should? Do we need acceptance? People, do we need acceptance? We do. Do we need every once in a while a pat on the back? Do we need kind words from our brothers and sisters in Christ? Does Marianne give you enough? Never. James says, do not tell evil lies about each other. The actual thought here in the Greek is not to speak down, someone down, and not to speak against. And the main thought is behind their backs. I'm guilty. What about you? Do you ever talk about your fellow Christian behind their back? And I don't mean in good terms. I think we're all guilty. And yet, James says, do not tell evil lies about each other. The work of Christians is to do what? To build up one another. But most of us work in construction, but we work on the other end, don't we, a lot of times? We don't build up, we tear down. It's easier to tear down, isn't it? And yet, we are in the building up job. But what the church is about. Building up one another in the faith. That's the work of Christians. But the church is made up of people. Christians saved, but still people who tend to want to sin and tend to sin. And so the church is not perfect. It was in high school. We had our senior year, a teenager, who wasn't quite like the rest of us. She did have some lower mental capacity. And I can remember people not only behind her back, but in front of her, made fun of her. And you could see the hurt in her eyes. I never forgot it. And I must say, at least at this one time in my life, I never made fun of that girl, before her or behind her. That's one moment that I can say I did something right, Charlie. Because I saw the hurt in her eyes when others did it. And I know what it's like to have hurtful words told about me. And it hurts even more when it's behind the back, doesn't it? I think we're all guilty of that at one time or another. Hurting someone, judging someone because they are not just like me. people, or I should ask, why are people attracted to Jesus, attracted to His church? Is it because we make people rich? Well, in one way we do, but not in the way most people think of it. No, people come to us when they're hurt. People come to us when they are discouraged, when they're lonely, and when they are confused. And yet, how do we react to them? You know what Jesus was accused of? Drinking too much wine and hanging around sinners. Hanging around sinners. Why did Jesus hang around sinners? They needed Him. They needed what He had. Both salvation, you're right, but they needed someone to show that someone thought about them, cared about them. True. But then there are the righteous sinners and the unrighteous sinners, and I don't mean that in a good sense. But that's what they accused Him of. Hanging around sinners. Now, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say I would dare say, but we tend not to want to hang around sinners, do we? Now, in one way, that's good. But another way, who is going to offer compassion and mercy and love? Jesus came to love those who didn't deserve to be loved. Jesus came to give mercy to those who didn't deserve mercy. And yet, what do we want to come into the church and be a part of us? We want people that we think are like us. People who don't quite fit. You know, we don't want anybody who had anything to do with prostitution among us. We don't want anybody that was once a part of the drug world among us. But yet, did not Jesus come to save these people? I can remember, I don't remember where this was or exactly the circumstances. But a visitor came into church, wasn't dressed quite as everybody else. I think he had on dirty blue jeans and a t-shirt. Long hair and a beard. And he sat down in the back. And I heard as someone went up to him and says, "We don't want your types in here. Can you please leave?" And they did. What is the church about? Are we about ourselves? Are we about, you know, we love to take care of ourselves. It's not wrong to have youth programs or single programs, but sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves, what do we forget? That the world is full of sinners who need Jesus. Judgment. We judge people not upon what God has said, but upon our own perceptions of what we want or don't want. But there's some good news in all this. One caring person can make a difference. One person who goes and greets a visitor and says, "We're so happy you're here today. Would you like to come and eat lunch with me?" One person who sees someone who is sad and goes and says, "I see that you're sad. Can I be of any help?" One caring person can lift up the confusion. One caring person can make up for the failures of many others who remain indifferent and uncaring. Just who might that one person be? Oh, that's Annette's job. She's the caring one of the group. And Annette's probably saying, "Oh, Well, that's Bert's job. Bert's the caring one. And Bert's probably thinking, well, my wife's much better at being caring. And so on and so on and so on. Instead of complaining about what others are not doing, we who are of Christ should see to it ourselves. I should be that one person who cares enough to notice a hurt and to see if there's something that I can do about it. One person can make a difference. It all started with one person, didn't it? Who was that one person? Jesus. We say one person's not enough. One person cannot make a difference. Jesus came as one person. Did he make a difference? He found 12 men and several women who were followers. And what did those 12 men and those women, who eventually we know is the 120, what did those 120 do? They started a church for Jesus in Jerusalem, and how many were baptized that very first sermon? And then later, another four? And how big that church got, I don't think we really know. One person, 12, 120. And look what they did. God calls us to be that one caring person no matter what the others do. We are not to be judgmental. We as Christians have been called to make a difference. He didn't call us to be pew potatoes. He didn't call us to expect others to do the work. He said, you come to the vineyard and work. Hebrews 10, the verse 24 and 25 in the New Century Version. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. Woo. A novice thought. Let us help each other. Let us show love to each other. Let us do good deeds for one another. You should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage one another. Do this even more as you see the day coming. Do you see the connection? How can we be loving, caring people for one another if we don't even come together? We are a family with a body. We are to work with and for one another. Now, we could sit here and focus upon a string of regrets. We could think back over today, over yesterday, and our life up to this point. We could replay these scenes over and over in our heads. We could relive our failures. We could say, if I had it to do over again, I would. And probably there's probably 100 or 1,000 things that we could put in there. We could focus on our regrets. And there would be some good in that, wouldn't there? Couldn't we also remember the times when we said a kind word that lifted the spirits of a discouraged friend? Couldn't we think of the times that we said something and a smile came upon their face? Couldn't we think of the times that we complimented a parent about their children and seen the love of thanks show? Aren't there times we can recall that we stood up and said the right thing at the right moment and that we changed the person for the good? You know, if we think only on the negative, what's going to happen? We'll probably stay negative, won't we? But if we think about the positive side and remember the feeling that we had when they were thankful, maybe that might help us to continue on saying and doing good things for others. We are in the encouragement business, the building up business. We are Christ's ambassador on earth. It's much easier to destroy. But that's not what we're about as Christians. Who would be so silly to say, I want to sub for God? Who would presume to even want to take the place of God? Yes, Satan did presume that and want that, didn't he? And yet, how much time do we spend judging others? Me included. And that is precisely what we are doing when we judge our brothers. We have presumed to take the place of God. Unfortunately, we don't have the right qualifications. We did not write the law. We do not understand the law. Do we have a right to judge? We are not wise enough. We lack knowledge. Do we even know what led our brother or sister to do whatever it is we're judging? We cannot look deeply enough into the motives of people be able to judge properly. We don't understand their hardships, their background, or their experiences. I dare say we're not kind enough to be judges because we're short on mercy. We barely comprehend grace. We do not know what it means to love someone unconditionally. We lack experience in the art of forgiving. We are not practiced at looking into someone's eyes and seeing their desire to change and be different. And I would dare say we often choose the wrong people to not judge. We are all guilty of judging improperly at one time or another. We also lack holiness. We do not perfectly live like Jesus lived. Our lives are full of shortcomings. We are not good examples all the time for others. The times maybe we are, but not all the time like Jesus was. A judge should mirror the goodness of God's law. We should see its virtues reflected in that life. That's why Jesus said in James 4, verse 12, God is the only lawmaker and judge. He is the only one who can save and destroy. So it is not right for you to judge your neighbor. So a friend is tangled up in wrong. What can we do to help? There are different ways to help. First, we can warn them. Sometimes the greatest display of kindness is a gentle word of caution. Sometimes we like to come with a couple of hammers and smash. We see the direction someone is heading. We know that that course will be a heartache in the end. We see the regret that's going to come. That's inevitable. In kindness, we should offer a warning. Secondly, we can encourage. We can point the way to better decisions. Once again, this needs to be done in love and gentleness, not with hammers. We can call to mind the good results that will most certainly flow from wise choices. Maybe even give an example from our own life. We can be a friend to lean upon. Sometimes we don't want them leaning on us. We want to lecture them. Well, sometimes it's best just to be a soft shoulder. We can be there reminding that friend that she and he or he are not alone. That they are not the only ones who ever fell as a Christian, and that a new beginning is possible. Or thirdly, we can learn to shut up. You know, our biggest mistake is that we tend to want to say too much. Sometimes the most helpful words are the ones we don't speak. People in trouble don't always need our advice. And if they need advice, they probably don't need ours. People in trouble particularly do not need us to go and talk about them behind their backs. When tempted to gossip, we need to learn to bite the tongue, bite it so that we can remember to keep it shut. Because we are tempted to gossip, aren't we? We're tempted to talk about things we shouldn't be talking about. But sometimes the best we can offer a friend or a member of the church who is in trouble is our silence until we can talk about it to God in secret. Remember Paul's warning. Now this comes from Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Galatians 6, 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help make him right again. Hope you heard that word, gently. But, isn't there always a but? But be careful, because you might be tempted to sin too. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I'd never do that. I must mean I'm more intelligent. Pride. One possible sin. By helping each other with your troubles, we are to help one another. Even when our brother or sister gets in trouble. You truly obey the law of Christ. How do we obey the law of Christ? Helping one another when we get in trouble. If anyone thinks he is important when he really is not, he is only fooling himself. Each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself with others. Then he can be proud for what he himself has done. Each person must be responsible for himself. I think that's one of our favorite pastimes, isn't it? Thinking, oh, I would never do what Charlie did. In that respect, I'm better than Charlie. Not just Charlie, but I could fit to anybody. But don't we do that at times? To think, oh, that brother or sister, phew, how dumb, how weak, I would never do that. Maybe not. But there are other things that we would do that maybe that brother and sister might say, whoa, that thing that Monty did, I would never do that. We each have our own weaknesses, don't we? There's a colorful image that Jesus paints in Matthew chapter 5. You may remember this. This fellow comes along and he sees another fellow and his eyes all red and watery and something's in it. Got something in that eye and it's driving him crazy. And this friend says, oh, let me help remove that speck of dust from your eye. And as this person turns around, the guy looks up and he says, no, no, wait, too late. That log that's in the other guy's eye, bam, knocks the guy down for a loop. You see, he had a log in his eye. And he was trying to help a guy who had a speck of dust in his eye. Isn't that an interesting picture that Jesus painted? Instead of trying to get the speck of dust out of our friend's eye, Jesus says, first, get the log out of it. Then you can see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's. You see, we have a tendency to judge, don't we? We have a tendency to see our brothers and sisters' weaknesses. All the while doing what? ignoring our own weaknesses. We're quick to judge others, but not ourselves. Who am I? Well, I'm not the lawgiver. I am not the judge. I am a fellow struggler, forgiven by God. Now, if I can't just get this log out of my own eye, perhaps I shouldn't try to assist others to get the speck of dust out of their eyes. Jesus said, let's use his words, you hypocrite. First take the wood out of your own eye, or the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the dust out of your friend's eye. The Lord has commanded us to help our brothers. We can best help them, first of all, by being understanding, by learning to show mercy, by learning to show love, and here's the big one, learning to forgive. Remember, in Corinthians, Paul had the church put a man out who had married his father, or who was living with his father's wife. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul comes back and says, okay, that brother has repented. Do what? Laugh at him? No. Well, what were they to do? Bring the brother back in. Forgiving. We are not called to sit in judgment. We are called to receive and forgive. Let's pray. Father, show mercy on me, a sinner. Give me the strength not to judge, but to be forgiving. Help me to show mercy, and help me to remember the grace that you have given. Help me to love my brother. Amen. This morning there might be those who have stumbled, those who need the compassion and love and understanding of the saints, who need prayers. We're always ready to receive and to pray for our brethren. But maybe there are those of you this morning who have never put on Jesus Christ in baptism. You know, forgiveness is only in Christ, and there's only one way in Christ. Through baptism in faith, or through faith in baptism, whichever way you want to say it. If you want salvation, it's found only in Christ. You are all encouraged to come forward this morning for prayers or for baptism. But if you need our compassion and our love, we are here and wanting to help. We are not going to be judgmental. Come as we stand and sing.